when looking for those who would get to know him in a special way, our Lord has chosen some very unlikely people. Unlikely people. Some of us may feel that we are among them. Perhaps not feeling on some days like looking the world in the eyes. Perhaps feeling that we might have made a bit of a mess of our life and that it's too late to put things right. Perhaps not being able to rise above some self-blame or heartbreak from the past. Perhaps feeling basically unloved or misunderstood. And sometimes when life has been terribly difficult, even having thoughts of self-harm and opting out of life altogether. And almost certainly a sense of sadness at not being one of those joyful super-Christians. Well, so many of these things could be put under the heading of what St. Paul called weakness. Could we just look at three little Bible verses where St. Paul writes to the Christian people at Corinth? There are so many of our unlikely people in his list. This is what he says. Remember how when God drew you to himself, very few of you were wise or wealthy or influential or powerful. Instead, he deliberately chose those things which the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. He chose those who felt weak and powerless in order to shame the strong. He chose those things despised by the world, those counted as nothing, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. He has used those things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Well, I wonder if some of us feel a little more hopeful after hearing that list. Because all through history, our Lord has created surprises by choosing timid, self-condemned people, people who did not believe in themselves, chosen them to help them to know his love. I wonder if we can think of three most unlikely people in the New Testament. First of all, the man who once said to Jesus our Lord, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." The man who denied even knowing Jesus just before the crucifixion. Yes, Peter. Peter who may even have considered taking his own life after denying our Lord. Then, after the resurrection, Jesus calls Peter to him. "Peter, I've got a job for you." "Who, me, Lord? Me? Me of all people?" "Yes, Peter, I want you to be the chief of the apostles." Well, when Peter could pick himself up off the ground, he could now believe in himself again because the Lord believed in him. Then, of course, there was Paul, the arch persecutor of the young church. Could you find a more unlikely person for Jesus to have on his side? But our Lord turned him right around and made him his ambassador, didn't he? Paul, ready to endure all sorts of hardships as he proclaimed Jesus, his Lord, with great courage everywhere he went. And then you may have guessed the third very unlikely person. A mixed-up young lady called Mary Magdalene, a nobody in the eyes of the highly respectable religious fraternity. Well, we know what happened, don't we? On Easter morning, our Lord speaks to the heartbroken Mary in the garden. "Mary," he says. Suddenly, Mary's whole sad world is turned upside down. Then, our Lord gives her the first apostolic commission. "Mary, go and tell the others." Well, what an unlikely person to be the first to encounter the risen Lord. And so ever since then, he has chosen so many of no consequence in the eyes of the world to represent him. Now I wonder, when we look at the various fragments of our lives, we may shake our heads very sadly. And you may have come across a little poem simply called fragments. And the wonderful message of the poem is that when Jesus our Lord helps us to rebuild our lives, he doesn't use new material. He takes all the broken pieces, our failures, our guilt, our very sad memories, our bitter disappointments. He takes them all, waters them with his tears, and fashions those very fragments into something beautiful. And if we're ever tempted to say, no one really understands me, it's as if he comes alongside and whispers, yes, you do have someone who understands me. Yes, he understands our vulnerability, because as St. Paul said, he made himself nothing. He made himself vulnerable for us. If we could just picture Jesus our Lord as he hangs, a pathetic figure, on that cross of shame. Who was it really? Well, we're looking at the Creator, the image of the invisible God, the Lord of all, he who has the name above every name, the light of the world, letting go all that glory so that he could share the darkness of the world with us and lift up the wounded spirits, not only understanding our pain, but sharing it ever since. Vulnerable. Jesus our Lord showed us that we should never be ashamed of needing a strength which is not our own. Not ashamed to be vulnerable. It's worth taking a good look at the giants of the faith, such as St. Augustine, Martin Luther, John and Charles Wesley. We soon discover that they were not super strong Christians who didn't have to struggle as we do. And as you look at their writings, you get a glimpse of that other side of their nature. Augustine had tremendous struggles with the weaker side of himself. Then just look at that brilliant hymn writer, Charles Wesley. We see the real Charles Wesley when he read, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. And then, of course, the warrior king, David, he confesses in his Psalms, Lord, you are my only refuge. Every night I wet my pillow. Every night I wet my pillow with my tears. Now, this all leads us to find out something very important, doesn't it? We can only be strong for those around us in the world if our own personal relationship with our Lord is one of utter, helpless dependence. We can only be strong for those around us if our own personal relationship with our Lord is one of utter, helpless dependence. So we mustn't ever feel even slightly ashamed of that dependence and saying from time to time, oh Lord, in a heartfelt way. And never to lose sight of the fact that when we do feel strong, it's his strength. And I'm sure that many of us have found that the longer we're a Christian, the more dependent on our Lord we become, not less dependent. And just one staggering fact, which we sometimes forget, if the Lord Jesus has come in and shares our life, we share all that he is. Another thought, it's not our advances in holiness which draw his help from us, though we want to be more pleasing to him. What moves him is always our need, not our so-called merit, but our need. And so, have you thought about the little chat with Jesus every day, quite apart from church services and formal prayers, how much it means to him to hear from us? Especially perhaps on those grey, drab days when we don't feel a bit like praying or reading a book of devotion. the little chat, which keeps the relationship alive. You know the sort of thing. Lord, thank you that you'll never fail me. Lord, I'm trusting you completely. All that really matters is your love for me. In your love, I've nothing to fear. Lord, my heart is yours, perhaps when looking at the cross. Lord, I'm in your hands, and one which may find ourselves saying quite often, what would I do without you, Lord? That is real prayer. That is real prayer. And the greatest act of service we can give, often neglected, is to give him our attention. He needs to be the home of our thoughts, to which we keep returning. And that's why we need to go often to his secret place, just reserved for Jesus, our Lord, and us. I'll say a little about that secret place in a moment or two. I said that Jesus, our Lord, loves to hear from us at any time. And that's why we mustn't feel that we're being selfish if we come with our various burdens and fears. We mustn't think, oh, I mustn't mention about my depression before I've prayed for such and such a crisis abroad, or before I've prayed about my Aunt Margaret's arthritis. No. You see, it almost doesn't matter what we're talking to him about as long as we are talking to him. And just another little thought. When we come to him with our need, it meets his need. When we come to him with our need, it meets his need. And this, of course, is because his love is then being fulfilled. Is there something we're enduring right now? A terrible problem that's been there for a long time, hardly able to pray about it through our tears. Our Lord's love is such that he wants to share that darkness with it from now, and to bear it and ease the burden of it, and to trust him to bring about the best possible outcome in those circumstances, and to believe with all our heart there's nothing that he cannot make right for us, even though a solution may seem a long way off at the moment. Could we whisper this little prayer? Dear Lord, I realize that in life's complexities there is no real hope without you. If my weakness is surrendered to you, your strength is there made perfect, and there's no limit to what we can do together. I invite you into my situation. I'm truly sorry for all the times I may have hurt you. I'm sorry for any bitterness which I carry in my heart. I trust your wonderful and merciful love to sweep away what has been wrong, so that all that remains is your love. And I just open myself to your love's healing. And may we let these words from our Lord speak into our hearts. My child, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate you from that love. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to me. Come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid. All present sorrow will be turned into joy, and all tears will be wiped away. Rest in my love as I bequeath to you the peace which the world cannot give. Simply as you rest on me now, my child, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you.